It is a blessing to be here with each and every one of you this morning. I am, in a way, excited to share this message. At the same time, the fact that I have to share this message we go through some things in this life, don't we? Some very difficult times. We suffer, we feel pain. As you have heard, the title of the message today is "Where is God when I am hurting?" And what brought this on is a number of experiences that I've had over the years, some of which I'll briefly share. But a couple of weeks ago, someone very, very close to me, someone that meant a lot to me in my life, passed away. And the most difficult part about it was that he was in Peru, in South America, so far away from me. And just not being able to be there, not being able to be there with him in his final moments, not to be able to be there with the rest of the family as they mourn and they grieve, it brought extra pain to the situation. And it is a situation and an experience and a feeling that many of us are familiar with. The loss of a loved one. Some friends, close friends of mine also just recently this last week shared that someone that was very close to them that was actually very young and recently married, and his wife was only a few months pregnant. And he had been suffering from an autoimmune disorder for a while, and he passed away, leaving his wife and baby behind. Yesterday, after our youth program, one of our deacons, Greg, was sharing with me as well a situation where someone that he cares about had come across a terrible thing, you know, a parent losing a child. Horrible, horrible things that happen sometimes in this life. And sometimes we can go through so much heartache and pain, and it's not just brought on by loved ones that pass away, you know, when relationships are broken, when families are broken, when we lose everything, when we go through pain because of, you know, ridicule, because of persecution. There are so many things that can cause pain and suffering to come upon us. And in the midst of that pain and suffering, we might become, sometimes we might come into a thought maybe even, where we ask ourselves, where is God? Does God even feel my pain? Does God understand what I'm going through? And I'm going to share with you today just five things from Scripture, five important facts from the Scripture that may help us to understand a little bit more about what God goes through when we go through pain and suffering. But first, I want to ask you to bow your heads with me and let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we pray that you may speak to our hearts. Lord, we may be at church today for a number of different reasons, but Father God, you are able to speak to each and every one of us, and we just want to pray and ask, Lord, as we open your word and as we go through this topic that can be very difficult to discuss because it might bring up emotions in us, Lord, that connect us back to moments of pain and suffering in our life. We just pray, Lord, that you be with us, you comfort us, Lord, and then at the same time, you encourage us, Lord, so that when we leave church today, we may leave encouraged, Lord. We may leave touched, Lord. We may leave closer to you. This is our prayer in your name. Amen. Okay, so we just shared a verse, and it was just read out beautifully by a young man. Revelation 21:4. Before I get back to that verse, though, I want to just touch on an important point. Very, very early on in my ministry, I ended up having to minister to a family that went through something that was just horrific, an experience that they had that just brought tremendous pain to them. It was a young family that I had been spending a lot of time with. I had done a lot of Bible studies with the family, and one of the ladies, one of the sisters of this family, she met a young man, fell in love. I did marriage counseling. We studied together. I was part of their wedding ceremony. And they considered me the pastor, the minister for the family, even though I was just fresh, you know, just going into college and all of that. But I remember when they got together, they both came from very difficult, abusive, even past relationships. And they fell in love. They were both Adventists. They came together. And they had no greater desire than to have a child together. And so, like any Christian does, you know, you pray for that. It's a blessing that comes from God, and you start praying. And I remember they would pray and they would pray, and they just couldn't conceive. And it wasn't until about a year after their marriage that one day she rang me with the beautiful news that, you know, and the exciting news that she was pregnant. And, you know, it was an answer to prayer, and we rejoiced and we celebrated, and it was beautiful. And about 4 months or so later, I received a very different call. I received a call where she was on the phone crying, and she was very upset because they had done a bunch of tests at the hospital, and the doctors had revealed to her that there was so many complications with this child. They had told her that the child would not be able to hear, he would not be able to see, he would not be able to walk, he was going to be deformed, he was going to have no quality of life, that's the one, whatsoever. What a horrible thing to hear, right? When you go to see the scans, all happy, you know, you want to know what kind of, you know, if you're going to have a boy or a girl, you don't want to hear that. And she was broken, and we prayed and we prayed, and then she went for another test and they revealed the same thing, and then a different doctor confirmed the same thing. And they basically said so many things to her about this child that they convinced her that the best thing for her to do would be to terminate the pregnancy. And you know, I found myself in a difficult situation as a minister, ministering to her in that situation. But ultimately, it was the decision that she and her family made. And she asked me that on the day that it was going to happen for me to please be there, to be there with her. And I said, of course, I will be there with you. And I remember I turned up on the day and it was just horrible. Everyone was so sad. It was depressing. The family was there. And anyways, what ends up happening, just to cut a long story short, is that as they are having the process of determination, there's a complication that arises. And she gets rushed off to emergency, and we end up finding out later that what happens is that due to the complication, the doctors had to take out her uterus. And so not only did she lose her child, she lost any possible ability to have any children in the future. And I remember sitting there with her husband, and this man was broken. And I realized then, you know, sometimes we have this thought that because we're Christians and because we know God and we know the Bible, that we always have an answer to everything. I realized in that moment that sometimes there is really just nothing you can say except just be there with them and comfort them any way you can. After time, we started to have conversations, but then they, you know, after everything happened, they asked me, being the minister of the family, to please be the one who leads out the funeral service for the child. And it's even worse, like it's horrible, because just to share with you the fact that when they actually ended up seeing the baby, and this is the craziest part of the story, is that there was just nothing on the baby that would indicate any of the things the doctor said was wrong with him. What do you say? And then they asked me, please, you know, Josh, can you do the funeral for us? And I just remember that day. It was horrible. I'm fresh into ministry. I don't have experience. Like, what do I say? And I remember pleading with the Lord, saying, God, what do I say? What can I say to comfort these people? I care about them. I know what they're going through. My heart breaks for them. But I just didn't know what to say. And I remember that day, it was a very sad day. And I remember, you know, the tiny little coffin, and the whole family is there, and they knew me. I was the God guy. I was the one who would come to the house and teach them about God. And nobody said anything to me verbally, but with their looks, I could just feel that as they looked at me, I could feel coming from them, they were just thinking these words, why did God let this happen? Sometimes we may go through something as horrific or even worse, and my prayer is that none of us have to experience anything like that. But even as Christians, we might find ourselves asking that same question. And so as I was really praying and really trying to come up with something to say to them, I felt that the Lord impressed me to share a few things. And I'm going to share some of those things with you today. The very first one that I was impressed to share was that God is not the author of pain and suffering in this world. We live in a sinful world. It is a reality. It's not a great reality, but it is our reality. And because of the fact that we live in a sinful world, and every one of us has a sinful nature, bad things happen that cause pain and suffering. And I remember sharing that story. There was a parable in the book of Matthew where Jesus tells this story about a farmer who goes out at night and he sows this good seed. And then as he sleeps at night after a long day's work, he goes to sleep and he says in the story that an enemy comes at night and he plants tares among that seed, among the wheat. And so as the crops start to grow, eventually the tares and the wheats, they grow together. And then people are seeing that and they're saying, what's going on here? Why is there tares among the wheats? And so they ask the farmer and they say, what happened? And he turns around and he says, the enemy did this. Like, it wasn't me. And I can almost see Jesus telling us through that parable, through that story, that that's what, as God has to deal with the fact that the enemy is out there sowing tares in this world. The enemy is out there causing pain, destruction, suffering. And the very first thing we do when we see that happen is we turn and say, God, why? And he wants us to know, it wasn't me. That's why it even bothers me when something horrific happens in the natural world and you turn on the news and the first thing they say was an act of God. It's like putting in the minds of the people that God is the one who did this. Now, we know God is not the author of pain and suffering. We also understand, because of our study of the scriptures, that God allows things to happen. We don't always understand why, though. But we know that God has a plan to one day end all pain and suffering on this earth. And I'm looking forward to that day. Because sometimes just to live life on this earth, it hurts. And where is God in the midst of all of that? I want to start going back to this verse that we just shared. Because this is a promise that so many of us are looking forward to, amen? The day when pain and suffering will end forever. There will no longer be any tears shed for any other reason than joy. Isn't that a beautiful thought? God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I love how it's written here. I love how John wrote it in a way where he makes us realize how God is going to be the one that wipes our tears away. I often share, and I'm going to share this a lot because it just helps me, and maybe it helps you to understand God's love a little bit better, is the love that I have for my children. When I had children, I started to see God in a different light because I was able to really see Him and understand Him as a father, because I love my children. And if my children are ever crying, and those of us that have children, when they cry, when they're suffering, how much do you desire as their parent to wipe those tears away? You don't want them to cry. And when they're crying and they're hurt and they're in pain, you want to hold them. You want to bring them close to you. You want to let them know that it's going to be okay. You are the one who makes the effort, makes the point to wipe their tears away. And why do you do that? You see, this is a beautiful verse because it, for me, just reveals God's love for us. It's not so much that God's going to do this. It's that God can't wait to do this. It's that God has an ultimate desire in His heart to end pain and suffering for us. God longs for the day because He loves us so much. And you know, when we look at a verse like this, we often look at it from a selfish point of view. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. Because I don't want to suffer anymore. And I'm sure none of you want to suffer. Suffering and pain is not something we want to experience. Suffering and pain for people that we love, people that are close to us, is not something that we want them to experience. So it makes sense to desire this day so that our pain, so that our suffering, so that the pain and suffering of those we love finally comes to an end. We're going to come back to that verse. And my prayer is that maybe we're going to see this verse after this morning in a different light. Let's go back to that topic for today, which is, where is God when I am suffering? I want to share with you just five things from the Bible, five important facts from Scripture to help us understand a little bit more about what God goes through when we suffer, when we hurt. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Now, this verse is quite profound, and we can spend a whole sermon just on this verse. But it brings out an important point for us to ponder. The fact that the Bible tells us that God is the very essence of what love is. In other words, if you want to have a true understanding of what love is, of what love means, of what love does, look at God. He is the ultimate example of what love is. And when we go through the Bible, we see that love revealed in the most amazing way. Because it was that very love that brought Jesus from heaven down to this earth, who took on human flesh, who suffered, gave his life on the cross, and he did that because the Bible tells us, right, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." But you see, Jesus so loved the world that he gave himself too. The love that the Father has is no different from the love that the Son has. It's no different from the love that the Spirit has. It's the same love. It's a sacrificial love. It's that love that loves you so much that they are willing to put you before themselves, even to the point of death. Romans 5:8, it tells us that while we were still sinners, God loved us. And when you look at that word sinners there, it's close to the word that we can get from Greek that also would mean enemies. Like while we were his enemies. That's why Jesus says love your enemy. When Jesus says love your enemy, Jesus is simply saying this, church. He's saying treat others the way I treat you. Because while you were still my enemies, I gave my life for you. That's how much I love you. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." The Bible makes it clear that what God has done for us, that what God does for us, that what God will do for us, everything, when it comes to us from God, it's motivated by love. So we need to understand this important fact from the Bible. God loves you. Amen? God loves you. We're going through a really important series on every second Friday night here. We have a youth program that we've started recently called Acts 29. You may have heard of this. I would encourage you to come. We have a blessed time here. And just like the whole church can come to Alive, which is a youth program, you guys can come to Acts 29 as well. It's for everyone. But one of the things that we're doing in that series in particular that we're going through with Acts 29 is we are trying to uncover, we are trying to break away all of the things that this world, that our life, that our experiences, that society can cause, that ultimately the devil causes for us to end up having a distorted picture of God. And the character and the truth about who God is so distorted in this world that there are so many people in this world that just don't feel, that just don't believe, that just don't know that God loves them. God loves you. He loves you like you have no idea. He loves you in spite of who you are. He loves you in spite of where you come from. He loves you in spite of what you have done. He loves you even though you have struggles and weaknesses and are prone to sin, because he says, while you were still sinners, I loved you so much, I gave my life for you. And those moments that I have when, man, I don't look, my girls can be disobedient. Maybe some of you can relate. Amen. Children are naughty sometimes. You know, I can't complain really, because I remember my dad would always say to me as I was growing up, it's almost like he had pleasure in saying this to me. Your children are going to be worse than you were. And now we have moments where, you know, that reality comes to light and my dad just kind of looks at me with a smirk on his face. You know? I was a naughty kid too. Children are naughty, but you know what? No matter how naughty, no matter how disobedient, no matter what they do, you don't stop loving them. And if I can have a love like that towards my children as a man with a sinful nature that struggles, if I can feel like that towards my children, how much more does a perfect, holy, just, merciful God love his children? The world needs to be reminded that God loves them, amen? So the first thing I want us to just really, really understand this morning, if we're in a situation where we are asking ourselves, where is God in the midst of our pain and suffering? We need to be reminded, first and foremost, God loves you. Second comes from 1 Peter 5, 7. Bible says, casting all your care upon him. It's just very simple. Why? Why can we come to him with our burdens? Why can we come to him with our struggles? Why can we cast all of our anxieties and all of our cares of this world? Why can we bring him our pain and our sorrow and our suffering? Because he cares for you. He cares. You know, one of the most common questions that you get asked as a pastor is, does God care about the little things? Pastor Josh, does God care about when I come to him with little things? And always a resounding yes. He cares about all of you. He cares about everything. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to share with him what you're going through, what you're feeling, whether it's big, whether it's little. He just wants to be involved because he cares for you. If we as parents, human beings, listen to all the things, you know how kids can be, they go on and on and on and on, but you listen to them because you care for them. You want them to feel heard. God wants you to feel heard. Come to him. Bring him all your cares. Bring him all your worries. Bring him all your sorrows, because he is letting you know, I care about you. The first one we looked at today was God loves you. Second one is God cares for you. The third one we're going to look at comes from 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, all praise to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Church, this morning, we need to be reminded of the fact that God not only loves you, God not only cares for you, God wants to comfort you. He wants you to know. And I love the way that Paul wrote this. I love the way he says this. He says, first and foremost, he is our Father. God is our merciful Father, and he is the source of all our comfort. Just like a father, just like a mother, just like a parent wants to comfort their child, God wants to comfort you. And the reason why God wants to comfort you is so that in all your troubles, you can be comforted. But then this is the beautiful thing about it. Then when you are with others who are in need of that comfort, because of that comfort you have received from God, He says, I want you to then comfort others. This verse is deep because it's almost like we're seeing here, it's like a way in which God is able to reach those that don't even belong to Him, in that sense that they don't believe in Him, that they don't want nothing to do with Him. God is still able to reach those people through His children. I'm going to comfort you so you can comfort them. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand that we have a Father that loves us so much that all He wants to do in your sorrow and in your pain and in your suffering is comfort you. He wants to hold you. He wants to hug you. He wants to let you know that it's going to be okay. He wants to let you know that He is with you. He wants to let you know that He understands, because He loves you and He cares for you. You know, it reminds me too of Psalm 23, where David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." He says, "Your rod and your staff, they do what? They comfort me. They comfort me in my pain. They comfort me in my trials. They comfort me in my tribulation." He says, "You are with me." One of the sad things that we feel sometimes in the midst of pain and suffering is we can feel at times like it feels like God's not with us. This is why we have His Word. His Word is there to remind us of what we forget. I remember a preacher once, I was listening to a sermon and he said this powerful statement. He said, "Brothers and sisters, we cannot forget in the darkness what God has revealed to us in the light." But it's just human nature and human tendency to, when we are overcome and overwhelmed by the troubles of this life, one of the very first things that we do, one of the ways in which we react and we respond, is we forget what God has told us. What God has promised us. He tells us over and over again throughout His Word, "I am with you wherever you go. Be not discouraged, be not dismayed, for I am your God, I am with you." Even until the very end, Jesus says, "I am with you." The fourth thing that I want us to remember this morning, we've been reminded today that God loves us. We've been reminded today that God cares for us. We've been reminded today that God wants to comfort us. We need to also be reminded today that God is close to us. Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit." Now, when we do a proper study, an exegesis of this text, the word contrite, in the way that it is said here in the book of Psalms, it is speaking about someone who has come to a situation in their life where they have experienced repentance. And because they have recognized their sin, and because they want to repent and they want forgiveness and they want to seek God's mercy and forgiveness, their heart is in this contrite manner. But when we put it in context with the way God sees us and the way God feels about us, we need to understand that whether we are feeling whatever we're feeling because we find ourselves in that situation, whether we find ourselves in the situation because someone that we love has left, or because our marriage has broken, or because, you know, my world has been turned upside down, or because I have lost my job, whatever it is, God is near to those who have a broken heart. If you have a broken heart this morning, you need to be reminded of the fact that God is close to you. Even if you can't see Him, He is there. Sometimes it takes a message like this for you to realize that, to be reminded of that fact. Not only is He close to you, but you know, Jesus even tells us, right? He says, come to me, all those of you who are burdened and heavy laden, who have big burdens on your heart, who are tired, who are hurt. Come, He says, I will give you the rest that your soul longs for. You will only find it in me. This last point that I'm going to share with you is one that I never understood in my whole experience as a Christian. Now, I've shared already here with most of you, know my background, you know my story. I was raised in a different church. I left. I did some really bad things in the world. And by God's grace, He brought me back. But even in all the experiences that I had in Christianity, even throughout all those years being in churches and being in prayer groups and going through worship, I never understood this. I never even realized this. And there might be someone here this morning who hasn't realized this. And this is such an important thing that we need to understand. And it's found, this point is found in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 63:9 says this, in all their affliction, He was afflicted. And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. And He bore them and carried them all the days of old. You see, this verse is speaking in the context of His people. It's in the context of Israel, His children, His people. And the Bible says clearly that in every affliction that they had, in everything that they went through, He felt it too. And it's this mind-blowing reality to maybe come for the first time to this realization that the Bible tells us so clearly that when we suffer, that when we hurt, God suffers and hurts as well. He feels your pain. He feels your sorrow. And you see, again, I wouldn't have even understood this properly at some point in my journey, but as a father, I understand now, because when I see my daughters in pain, it hurts me too. All I want to do is take that pain away. When I see them crying and I see them hurt, and especially if it's for some reason because someone at school said something and made them feel bad, it's a horrible thing to see your child going through that. When they suffer, you suffer too. And the Bible says that in all of our afflictions, He is also afflicted. The last point I want us to look at this morning is the simple fact, brothers and sisters, that when you suffer, God suffers as well. This is why we're told in the New Testament that it says, for we do not have a high priest who is not able to sympathize with us. He was tempted in all points just as we are. Now, we normally look at that verse in the context of sin, but understand it's saying that our high priest, Jesus, because He took on human flesh, because as a human being, He felt pain, He felt sorrow, He felt suffering. Because of that, He is able to sympathize with us. You see, in early Christianity, when the church was in its initial stages, the theology was very much influenced by pre-Christian Greek philosophy, you know, such as coming from Plato and Aristotle. And these people would picture and speak about God as an emotionless, self-sufficient being, one who is incapable of mental pain, one who doesn't understand our suffering and pain. They thought of Him as a being who had no interest in and could not be affected by anything outside of Himself. Now, it's interesting to think that that was a prevalent mindset in the early days of the church. But the reality is that today, in 2021, it's still a prevalent mindset in the world, in the minds of most of this world. They think that God, you know, and some Christians will be like, yeah, you know, I believe God created this world. But their view of God is like, maybe He created the world, but He's just so far away. And we might even come to that that thinking sometimes that we think God is not close to us. Yeah, He created the world. Yeah, He's, you know, involved in certain things, but He's just so far away. And when we look at these verses, they're screaming out to us. The reality is that God is close to you, that God cares for you, that God loves you, that God wants to comfort you. And most of all, that when you suffer, He is suffering as well. Brothers and sisters, where is God when we are hurting? He's right there with us, feeling our pain, feeling our sorrow, and with a great desire to comfort you, to hold you, to let you know and remind you that He loves you and that He cares. From the book Selected Messages, we find this quote where it says, "What a wonderful thought it is that Jesus knows all about the pains and griefs we bear. In all our afflictions, He was afflicted. Some among our friends know nothing of human woe or physical pain. They are never sick, and therefore they cannot enter fully into the feelings of those who are sick. But Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmity." What a beautiful realization, because sometimes you may be in a situation where you even feel you just don't know anyone close to you or around you that understands what you're going through. They can't relate. They haven't gone through what you go through. They don't know what you're feeling. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that there is one who does. There is one who is acquainted with your suffering and your grief. It's Jesus Christ. The same one who loves you. The same one who cares for you. The same one who comforts you. The same one who's close to you. He is the one who suffers with you. I'm going to finish by going back to this verse in Revelation 21. You see, when I finally understood that God was suffering, that God felt our pain, I looked at this verse in a different light. I remember I was listening to another preacher one Sabbath, and they were sharing some things, and in the middle of the sermon, he just basically said, "You know what? I wouldn't want to be God. If I had the ability," he goes, "I would not want to be God for one day." He said, "I wouldn't want to be God for 1 hour." He said, "I wouldn't even want to be God for 1 minute." And then he just turned around and he said, and I didn't understand this at the time, but I've come to understand what he was talking about. He turned, after he said, "I wouldn't want to be God for even 1 minute," the next words that came out of his mouth was, "The pain. The sorrow that God must feel continually as He sees His children suffering. As He sees His children wandering off into things that are going to cause them pain and suffering and hurt." So now that I understand this part of God, that for some of us, it's just a new thing to even realize, because a lot of us, we don't even realize the fact, you know, we think God, because He's God, He's all good. He doesn't suffer the way we do. He doesn't hurt the way we do. But the Bible is saying no, that when we suffer, He suffers as well. I'm going to finish with this thought. I mentioned before, we often look at this verse in a bit of a selfish way. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with looking at this promise as the day where our suffering, as the day where our pain and sorrow will end, and those that we love. But how about adding into that now? Now that we realize that as we suffer, God suffers as well. Looking at this verse and now desiring this day more than ever, because not only will our pain and suffering end, not only will the pain and suffering of those we love on this earth will end when this happens, but also the pain and the suffering of our Father in heaven. Now I long for this day even more. Because He who loves me, He who loved me when I was unlovable, He who loved me to the point that He gave His life for me, I don't want Him to suffer as well. And so, brothers and sisters, I pray that this morning we've been encouraged and we can walk out of church understanding God loves you, God cares for you, God wants to comfort you, God is close to you, and God knows what you're going through, because when you suffer, He suffers as well. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for Your word, Lord. So many times we can come up with all these thoughts and feelings and ideas, Father, and a lot of it is really just motivated by the circumstances that we find ourselves in, Lord. And in the midst of pain and suffering, we can find ourselves at times feeling like you're not there, feeling like you don't love us, feeling like you don't care. And Lord, you've reminded us this morning through your word that it's the opposite. You do love us. You do care for us. You are there to comfort us. You've always been close to us. And now we understand also as well that when we suffer, you suffer as well. And Lord, let us find comfort in this in these promises. Let us find comfort in this reality, Lord. If there's anyone of us at this moment, whether here at church, whether listening online, that's going through pain and suffering right now, Lord, may we feel your presence more than ever. May we feel your love, Lord, stronger than ever. May we feel your arms wrapping around us, Lord, as you comfort us. May we realize that you understand what we're going through so we can come to you because you're the only one that understands exactly how we feel. And let these experiences that we go through in this life bring us closer to you. This is our prayer in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.